going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. One man, one, had Derek Harmon to the Steelers last night before everybody else, and that man joins us right now. He is Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, the Locked On Steelers podcast, and I think he's in a bathroom somewhere. At least it sounds that way. Chris, congratulations to you on all your news-breaking success. What do you think of the pick?
I think it's a great pick. Derek Harmon was one of three defensive tackles I thought would be reasonably there for the Steelers. Walter Nolan and Kenneth Grant went before they picked. I had Kenneth Grant as the only one as ranking ahead of Derek Harmon, but if they got Derek Harmon, I saw that as a win. I looked at that and I thought that there was a really good chance that they could get a stud defensive tackle. To me, all three of those guys would have been great picks at that position. They stayed put. They went and got it. I think this is a big win for the Steelers. There's some people that think, oh, maybe they could have traded back. Maybe they could have. But when you saw both Grant and Nolan fly off the board before they picked, I think they were kind of like, we want to make sure we get one of our guys, and they made sure in doing that and staying there at 21.
Chris, break Harmon down for us. I mean, size, speed, what's he do well? Where is he going to fit? You know, how is he going to look as a Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL, at the NFL level? Break him down a little bit and give everybody what they need to hear.
Absolutely. No, I think that one thing about him is that he is a guy that he talked about. When I talked to him at the combine, I asked him about where he could play on the line. He said this year specifically at Oregon, he made sure that he could play anywhere from the 0 to the 5. He is a Cam Hayward almost clone when it comes to the measurables as far as his height. He's just like Cam Hayward's like an eighth of an inch taller than him, but he had his hand size is just a little bit bigger than Cam Hayward's. His arm length is a little bit longer than Cam Hayward's. He's a little bit heavier than how Cam Hayward came into the draft back in 2011. But this guy measures just like him in so many ways, and he also idolizes him. I talked to him during the combine, and one thing that he said there was that he's like, I study Cam Hayward and Chris Jones because they are my body types, and they're the two of the best to do it. And he said he talked about how he loves how they attack people's elbows and wrists to make sure that they're using their arm length. And if Derek Harmon can use his frame at an expert level where he's able to counter what teams do, what offensive linemen want to do to him to keep him from getting leverage on them, that's going to make him extremely dangerous. Now, what he does very well, he's a really good interior pass rusher. In fact, he led all college football defensive tackles and interior defensive linemen in pressures with 55 last year for Oregon. Now, didn't result in a ton of sacks. He had 5 sacks on the season, but he was getting after it in the middle of Oregon's defense, and I thought that was he showed a lot of growth there. He split a lot of double teams. I think the one thing he has to continue to work on is being consistently aggressive in the run game and not trying and being persistent with his technique. I think sometimes he can lean on his athletic profile a little too much, and sometimes that lets people get up under him. But he is Well, when you look at his tape at Michigan State versus his tape at Oregon, that's something that I see him improved upon. And I also get the sense that he works to improve. He really thinks very hard about his craft. He grinds a lot, and I think he just checks so many boxes that the Steelers want. When I was at the combine, I felt like he was the guy that sounded the closest to Cam Hayward as far as being like a well-spoken leader who can articulate what he needs to do and is a no-nonsense guy. I think this is very much what Mike Tomlin called him a Steelers pick. I think he very much was.
So when Mike Tomlin says it's the Steelers pick, it would seem to indicate that he fully endorses it. Do you think this was a unanimous pick at 21 in that war room, or do you think there were factions that perhaps Tomlin wanted Sanders and ultimately didn't win out?
I've been of the opinion that this whole Shador Sanders thing was a smokescreen. The things that I heard around the organization, like they like Sanders, but not in the first. Just there's too many boxes that he doesn't check as far as being an NFL prospect. The arm strength is not at the NFL level. The speed is not the NFL level. His size isn't the NFL level. Like he would have to be like the best processor on the field to be a first round pick. And there's moments where he showed that, but not enough. And I think that's the thing, that when you look at a lot of his best plays, they were sandbox plays at Colorado. Very not as many of his big plays where, hey, he read that they weren't really in cover three. They were really in cover two or cover four, and he attacked them here, and he did it on time within 1, 2, 3. Bam, the ball is out. A lot of his plays were, let me roll out to my left or roll out to my right, and then, oh, this guy's down deep, I'm going to put it on the right spot. Now, his accuracy, top tier. Like, I think that he'd be a really good second-round pick, but I had Shador Sanders ranked at 44. I think
you were the only person that I saw from national to local to have him in the second round, Chris. The only one.
It just added up to me. Like, everyone is hyping him because, look, and he's an exciting player at times. Like, in college, he had some really impressive moments. And, again, I think second round makes a lot of sense, but just – When I look at prospects at different positions, there's certain things I need to check boxes on, and I only checked like two of those boxes with Shador, and I'm like, hey, this accuracy part is like his arm motion, like it's very consistent, and like that's like Tom Brady's arm motion was very consistent. That's what made him so accurate for his entire career, was just bang. It was like that, and that's one thing that Shador does have at an elite level. But you need more than that if you're gonna work in the NFL. And that's just why I think that I thought he was going to be – I had him as a second-round pick. I thought someone would take him in the first round. I thought the Saints or the Rams would go after him. I'm very surprised to see Jackson Dart go before him. I do not like Jackson Dart as a prospect at all. But I think the Steelers – to answer Pat's question more specifically, I don't think that Tomlin was banging the table for Shador Sanders. I think that was all a smokescreen to get people to buy into that so that people don't think that the Steelers are taking a D-tackle and they can just take their guy at 21.
I always like the visual of a guy banging the table. Like, I just imagine Mike Tomlin in there, and then Art Rooney just stoically in the corner, just, all right, Mike, now if you could please calm down now. All right, back to Derek Harmon and his usage. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, the Locked On Steelers podcast, joining us this morning. He breaks news. He knows exactly where guys like Sanders are going and where they're not going. How does Derek Harmon get utilized this year? Because I think, and we've talked about this extensively, I think ideally you'd like Keanu Benton to play a ton of end. So how much of the field does Harmon see early? I mean, I think also ideally they'd probably like to come away with a true-ish nose tackle at some point in this draft.
Agree. And there's some guys like that. In fact, Derek Harmon's teammate, Jamari Caldwell, who the Steelers brought in for a pre-draft visit, would be a great candidate for that. And I think he's a guy that they can land around the fourth round. That'd be a really awesome duo to bring to you. Now, the thing is, where does Derek Harmon fit as far as usage this year? I think he's like, if you're doing a 3-4, I'd consider making him the middle guy, like rotating him and Cam Hayward as the middle guy, and let him work with Keanu Benton. But in the nickel formations where you have two interior defensive linemen, I'd have Benton and Hayward as my starters, and then just quickly rotating Derek Harmon in. You know, in today's NFL world, you know, a starting defensive tackle is kind of a it's kind of like the sixth man in basketball. Like, you know, like he may not be starting, but he's going to be coming off the bench real quick. And I think that he can be that guy that plugs in really quickly. I know there were some shoulder injury questions. I especially know because I waited for 3 hours to talk to him at the combine while he waited to go through his medicals. But, you know, I think that everything that we've seen, it won't be an issue going into camp. I think that he possesses a lot of the traits, and I like the idea of him playing early this upcoming season. I think that he's a guy that's ready to embrace that challenge.
Chris, no second round pick for the Steelers to start the draft tonight. They pick 83rd. in the third round. Do you see them in any form getting back into the second round? And if they don't, who is that 83rd pick and what position is it?
So the only way I saw them getting into the second round was if they traded way back in the first. Like if they would have needed to trade back with like the Bills or the Chiefs. And I think that they were considering that and they were trying to make that happen in like the mid-teens when like Walter Nolan was still there. But I think when like Nolan and Barron and like those guys came off the board, then they were like, we can't risk this because Derek Harmon's one of our guys. And like, if there were three of our guys still available, maybe we take that chance. But I think that they were at the point where the guys that they really wanted were slimming out at 21. And listen, Omar Khan said the way that they operate, if they see a guy, there's certain guys that they say, we cannot trade back if this guy is on the board. I think maybe Derek Harmon was that guy if he was the only one left. So, I think that that's where that is. Now, as far as third round tonight, it's always tricky when you're like, 50 picks away from where you're going to be. So you don't know who's going to take a run on. But I do think it's interesting that only Genty and Hampton went at running back. And so Travion Henderson, he's not going to fall to the Steelers. But how far does he fall in round two? Because if he falls far enough in round two, that means the other running backs are falling further down. And, you wonder where Quinshon Judkins. I think the sweet spot for the Steelers could be like the Dylan Sampsons, the Caleb Johnsons. If those guys somehow get pushed to the third round, then maybe the Steelers are saying, hey, you know what? We could trade up and get the running back, get a running back that we really like, But I think they could also stand pat if they get a DJ Giddens. I think that he would be a heck of a pick for them. RJ Harvey, both of those guys, running backs, that would be really, really good players. Damian Martinez, they didn't bring him in for a pre-draft visit like they did nine running backs.
Because they brought in Giddens and they brought in – the kid from UCF too that you just said,
Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they brought in nine running backs. They're clearly looking at that. And the sweet spot, like when I did my top 100 big board, the sweet spot like starts on a run after like 50, between like 50 and like 100. I have like 10 running backs in that range. They have a lot of things that they could pick through there, but it's just going to be about who falls. I think running back is going to be the prime position that they look at there, unless like, their backup quarterback. Like if Jalen Milroe falls to 83, I think that changes things. And I think that then they're like, oh, okay, well, wait a second. That's our preferred backup quarterback. If it's him or Tyler Shuck or, one of those guys. But I think running back is the pick. They seemed very intrigued to get a guy to be behind Jalen Warren. So if I was to pick a position, it'd be running back. If I was to just throw a name out there, I'll say DJ Giddens. I think his ability to make reads at the line of scrimmage and read what the offensive line is doing, I think would mesh very well with Arthur Smith's system.
Mr. Carter, you are a news breaking hound. will you be reporting breaking today that Aaron Rodgers this weekend that Aaron Rodgers is a Pittsburgh Steeler?
That one I leave to the GOAT Jerry Dulac. I'll let him do that one. I'm not the signing of Aaron Rodgers is that's we've all been waiting for that.
Will it happen?
We've all been waiting for that shoot. Will it happen? That I don't know. That has been such a mystery to everyone. Like when I talk to anyone that I talk to about it, they're just like, man, what's the cross between an elephant and a rhino? Elephino. Like that's kind of where it's at for me. Like I don't know when Aaron Rodgers is coming in. But I do think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when he wants to come in. I thought it would happen before the draft. It didn't. So now I think it's going to happen before OTAs. But, I think the Steelers have also made it clear that, like, look, because they weren't urgent about when he came to the facility and he left without a deal, they were kind of like, hey, man, here's the deal. Take it or leave it. That's that. And I think that they're happy to do that right now because I think that Mason Rudolph gives them that security. They feel like, look, if nothing else, we know this guy can start for us. He's tough. He's physical. And this locker room loves this guy. And they will play for this guy. And he knows how to work with George Pickens. So I think there's a really good chance Aaron Rodgers signs, maybe not this weekend, maybe next week. Who knows? But I think he will be a Steeler in time for mandatory mini camp, if not OTAs.
What's the difference between a frog and a duck?
You gave him way too much time to think about that.
I'm such a pathetic human that I'm over here jotting it down so that I didn't accidentally say The wrong word, which is dog, by the way. Get your head all up out of the gutter. All right, Chris, this was excellent, man. You are very good at your job. I say
the
that
best.
Without my tongue in my cheek. Just
also
outstanding
a heck of a
stuff
receiver.
By you.
Also a heck of a receiver.
Chris yeah, really Carter, good. Yeah.
Hall of
CC.
Hall of Fame.
There is a Chris Carter tight end from Northern Illinois that might get picked on day three of the draft. Check him out.
Hmm.
Aren't you also the guy who stole Kenny Pickett's car?
I am. I still have his playbook right over here.
Wasn't there a Chris Carter that played for the Steelers, too?
Yes.
Linebacker out of Fresno State, fifth-round pick. I met him.
Where was he on your big board? Where was he on your big board?
I was a senior in college not knowing what big boards were. I was getting my hair cut when I was just looking at the ESPN like, that's my name. It's coming up the board. Huh. What if the Steelers took him? The Steelers took him.
LFI now.
First year in LFI. My first year in law school, I walk into Mario's at Shadyside and I see him.
Attaboy.
I'm just like, hey, all right. So I walk up to his buddy. I'm like, I show him my driver's license. And he was like, oh, he has to see this. And he was a super nice guy. I remember the big story that stuck with him was that he like refused to bring donuts for like outside linebackers. So Lamar Woodley filled his car with like a giant mound of popcorn. And he said he's still to this. Like, I think I talked to him. Like right by like his fourth year at the team, and like that was his rookie season. He was still cleaning popcorn out by his fourth year because Lamar Woodley did that to him.
Yeah, Lamar Woodley stuffed himself full of donuts. That's why he got out of here. All right, Chris, we'll see you later, buddy. Thank you for the time. Very
thanks,
good.
Thanks, fellas.
Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. A ton to react to there, and we'll do just that coming up next. I also got texted the eyeball emoji, someone who might have something on Rodgers. Eyeballs. So we'll get into that, too. You can text us, brought to you by... No, seriously.
I know. I love it.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, man. I won't. I know you guys are always scared that I might, but I won't. The things we talk about off the air that are just tremendous stories that you wish you could bring onto the air.
Just tune into the YouTube stream and try to read lips.
Don't do that.
Do not do that.
Don't do that.
They can't do it. There's someone out there that
There's
can.
There's somebody that can.
Mm-hmm. That not only that can, that has.
Yes.
You can't get canceled for that, can you? I don't think any of this stuff is offensive. It's
if
just
you
stuff
could,
you can't
if you
share.
If you could, it'd already be done.
Yeah.
Good point by you. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The stat that Chris Carter brings up that gives me pause is a guy that gives this pick a B, but also would have rather had Sanders or Dart. 55 pressures from an interior pass rusher. Now, one of the knocks on this guy, which I don't think is a big deal because he does have a relentless motor, is he just didn't finish enough plays. You know who also had that problem? Stephon Tuitt. And then one day, he figured it out.
Well, the 55 pressures, I love that stat because it means you're winning your one-on-ones. You're winning. And let's not forget, like these quarterbacks that he was going against are good. They're going to get the ball out. You know, they could feel that pressure. I mean, ask Pat. You could feel pressure even if you can't see it. You see it in your peripheral and you know that you got a first round, 6'4", 320-pound defensive lineman breathing down your neck. You're going to get that ball out.
Yep.
So, I mean, these quarterbacks that he's went against, I mean, I don't have the list here, obviously, but I'm sure half of them are pretty good and have a good sense and instinct of getting the football out. That doesn't mean he won't be able to do that at the NFL level.
Well, another thing, too, is his pressures could have led to sacks for other players.
That, too.
You know, he probably made guys around him better, attracted a lot of attention. Given his pressure rate, pressures are as impactful on a game as sacks are. I mean, particularly when you're an inside player. And the fact that he could play from the zero technique to a five technique, that versatility in a defense that likes to move fronts is big time. I mean, he is Cam-like, which is, you know, passing of the torch is coming soon. So it's good to have that guy.
And you're learning from the best.
You're learning from a guy you idolize and who is very similar to you. I think it's... He's going to get better just because of working with Cam every day.
They didn't have enough depth last year. Isaiah Loudermilk, not good. He just hasn't turned out what they want him to be. Larry Ogunjobi, barely practiced a couple of years ago, he was an invisible uniform at times. Like, he'd flash once every 4 weeks. You need more than that. You need dudes up front, which is why I don't kill them for the pick. And it's who I said that they would take yesterday, Derek Harmon, at the end of the show. Yeah. Everyone's doing that today. Have you guys noticed?
Oh, yeah, and yesterday.
Everyone's got to let you know that they had it mocked.
We told you.
Including people who had Matt Corral going to the Steelers in 2022. I'm not sure you want people to be digging in on your mock draft history. Well, look, I got Derek Harmon right. Okay. You had Matt Corral going to the Steelers. Matt Corral? Golden Corral. That guy stinks.
Lakers in five.
You picked up on it.
Yep.
Can we do that anymore? With Shannon?
Sure.
I don't know about all that. The only guy having maybe a worse day than Shannon Sharp today could be Najee Harris, as Amarian Hampton goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. And the league is telling us, if the league is telling us, because people have made this argument to me all day, Crowley, stop it with Sanders, he sucks. The league's telling us he's not a first-round talent. Okay, I think the league is telling us what it thought about Najee Harris. He's not going to take a bad deal. He's going to take the best deal available to him. 4 years guaranteed, $4 million, excuse me, 1 year deal. $4 million guaranteed, upwards of nine. That's chump change.
Mm-hmm.
The way running backs have been getting paid. And now Los Angeles says, Marion Hampton's here?
Yeah.
We're going to take that guy.
Yeah, Najee's expendable at this point.
That's a cuttable contract.
It is.
Not saying that they will, but it is cuttable.
It also tells you they're going to play big boy ball out there.
Yeah.
They're just going to pound that rock.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Justin Herbert's like, he's going to hand the thing off every down.
You think Najee's going to take that? Well, he's always been chip on the shoulder guy. And he'll give you three straight games where you go, damn, that's a first round guy. He just never did it week in and week out. Amarian Hampton is going to be special.
Yes, he is.
I don't like running backs in round one, but, I mean, you've talked about Amarian Hampton, man, and
his legs are like
Pringle cans.
No, they're much bigger than that. They're like, they're just like tree stumps, man. They're thick.
I think what Jim Harbaugh obviously is acknowledging, too, that Najee does need, you know, isn't 100% production type running back. He's going to need somebody else in order to get the most out of him.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Just seeing that with Jaylen Warren and the Steelers, like getting the most out of Najee, he needs somebody else. And let's kind of flip it a little bit where Najee's not the one. He is the two. He is the complement to a one instead of being a one and having a complement to him.
Yeah, and in defense of Najee, too. I mean, they're a high-volume run team, so you need more than one back. Now, I'm sure he's not in love with them taking a first-round back, that being Najee, but they weren't going to pass him up if he was available there for how they want to play.
No, it's value at that point.
Yep.
It's value at that point. The guy's a stud. And I keep saying the same thing about Derek Harmon. Like, me not giving the Steelers an A for this pick doesn't have much to do with the player.
It's sour grapes.
Correct. I'm a big baby. I'm a baby because I wanted a quarterback. Speaking of running backs, let's get into that a little bit next. What are the Steelers going to do at pick 83? Chris said, hey, if Jalen Milroe's there at 83, Steelers probably sprint to take that guy. If not, could be a running back. Who are some of those options? What might they bring? Texture Crawley knows everything about running sports teams, yet nobody will hire him as he sits there and just bashes people. You sit on your ass all day and talk sports. Grow up, you sissy.
Dang.
I mean,
why don't you tell us, sir or ma'am, how you really feel?
I have quite literally, though, been hired to give my opinions on such matters.
It's radio.
Yeah.
It's a great shirt, by the way.
Iron City Beer.
It's a great shirt.
You know, here's a problem. TMI, forthcoming. Did not shower this morning, so I could sneak an extra few minutes of sleep. And I didn't even put on my deodorant yesterday because I ran out, so I'm wearing my wife's deodorant. So
it seems like it's very convenient all the time. You always run out of deodorant. You're always wearing your wife's. I think
Dove?
You just wear it.
Is it like a nice?
No, it's some crunchy BS from Trader Joe's that there's no friggin' way it works. It's natural deodorant. There's no aluminum in there.
No aluminium.
Just admit that you wear women's deodorant all the time. Because it feels like every time, you know, I ran out of deodorant. Like, how much deodorant? Like, a stick lasts for a long time of deodorant.
Okay,
you're always running out.
Are you guys do you like the
clear?
You're clear?
Not stuff. Clear, but like, not like the gel clear.
I don't like the gel. I use the white no streak.
I'm a white guy. I do the white. Yeah.
You're a white guy.
I do the white.
I dabbled in the spray.
Yeah.
And then
the spray is on top of the regular though, right?
No, you use the spray.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Ox used to have Tim Enright used to have the spray, and I used to love that stuff. And then one day, our bedroom, the sun just comes right into it in the morning, and I did it. And, like, my wife, Sam, walked up, she's like, Pat, are you, like, smoking in here? And I'm like, no, it's just a cloud of, it can't be good for you.
No, aerosol right into the lungs.
Oh, it can't. So I used to, like, do it, hold my breath, and then sprint out of the room. So, you know, Sam's downstairs, and she hears, like, and I'm like, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. Just putting deodorant on.
I do have a compulsion where I don't know how many times you guys.
You do it a lot.
Oh, you have to get the right lather.
I go 20 on each pit.
20?
20 swipes on each pit, yeah.
Do you?
And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Do you? Yeah. What if you feel like you miscount, do you redo it?
If I feel like I go over, then I have to match it on the other side. So if I feel like I might have put 21 or 22 on there, I got to go 21 or 22 on the other side.
Mm. Wow. Yep. It is a little bit of a problem. If you don't do it right, it's a little clumpy.
Don't want the clump.
You don't want the clump.
Can't deal with the clump.
Yeah, that's why I need the clear stick.
Clear stick's the best because I'm sure.
You get the white.
I have the black shirt on today. Ooh, I think we're okay.
You got to be careful too. Like, I wear golf shirts all the time.
Yeah.
And then you can get like the residue. So it looks like you're sweating, but you're not. It's just, so you have to give yourself the right time to dry out. You know, do some
chicken wings.
Yeah.
Just flapping around.
Yeah, just air it out. Air it out.
I'm pretty sure you can eat this deodorant that my wife uses. It's all natural. So that.
Why don't you try?
I'll report back on Monday. And if I'm out, that's why.
That my wife uses it. It's your deodorant.
Death by Chunky natural deodorant. I bet you Aaron Rodgers would be on board with the natural deodorant.
Yes.
We'll get to him. We have reason to believe that Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers is imminent. I've been sent eyeball emojis by somebody in the know. It was Josina Anderson last night who said the Steelers told Rodgers they need to know within 48 hours of the draft, and that they now have their answer from Rodgers. They know how that conversation went, and we are putting two and two together thinking that this is going to happen. Has not been announced yet, obviously. I did also want to get back to what Chris Carter said. At 83, the Steelers could be looking at running backs. And so here are some of the guys that came in, and whether they'll be there or not, whether it's a reach or not, I guess you see how the board falls. But DJ Giddens, Kansas State. Dylan Sampson, Tennessee. Bashiel Tutin, the speedster. What do you run, a 4.38? From Virginia Tech. Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. Bad year this year, great year last year. Jaden Blue, Texas. Caleb Johnson, Iowa. RJ Harvey, UCF. Caleb Johnson, my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed his tape. But it wouldn't shock me at all if they got a running back 83rd overall. And if they do, I think it's a guy who's going to play a ton. I think you're looking at 50-50-ish between he and Jaylen Warren. And then obviously Kenneth Gainwell can be your third down back. But I think they're going to get an impact player at running back. If they don't find their way moving up into the second round today, I think that's what you're looking at.
If for some reason Milrow and Judkins were there for the 83rd pick, who would you pick?
Milrow.
If Judkins is there?
Yeah, Judkins.
Judkins.
I'm taking Milrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up, man. It's a toss-up. You know who's a guy later in the draft that I think is going to be valuable? Rashard Smith from SMU. Played receiver at Miami. Like, going to be a value scat back in the NFL. He's not at 81 or 83? What are the Steelers at? 81.
83.
He's not there. But if they were to take Milrow, I wouldn't hate Rashard Smith later. Mm-hmm. I love, though, my favorite of the bunch is the kid from Iowa.
Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, he's 6'1".
I love Johnson.
Yep.
I love to see him get a big back. They have small and fast. Like, give me a big back.
He runs away, too. His 40 time wasn't great, but you watch him at Iowa, he's running away from dudes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Color scheme works. It all fits.
Plus, they run it every down there.
They do.
So it's not like there was a threat of pass.
They do. They were a respectably bad offense this year and not just a horrifically bad offense.
You guys, when we talked about this yesterday, in or out on Scadabo, because he'll probably be around then.
I don't like him.
Me neither.
I love him as a player. I don't think he's... I think there's better backs to take it at 83.
Mm-hmm. I am looking, I had it and I lost it, at a big board of running backs. I'll get back to you guys on that. Where Scadabo still, even with the top two guys off the board, kind of surprising there wasn't a third to go in round one, but he's like the eighth or ninth best back in at least one of the big boards that I was looking at today. All right, coming up next, the latest on Aaron Rodgers. Jason Mackey going to join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to argue about draft-related things. Mackey and I have already gone back and forth on the Twitter.com. He called me Crowley Pony, which I take as a compliment. Kind of. And then I snapped back at him. Jason Mackey going to be joining us from 9 o'clock until 10. Our time with Pat Bostic almost over.
Yeah.
Someone texts in, Mackey is impressive in that you know he has an extremely punchable face without ever needing to actually see him.
Dang.
Wow.
The hell's wrong with people?
People are upset today.
We're giving sports opinions. Imagine doing like KDKA and like throwing out politically charged opinions every day.
Mm.
Like this is what we get for saying like, oh, shoot, I wish Shador Sanders would have been the pick. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm going to punch you in the face. Gee, we relax.
Punchable face.
Talk about football.
I don't think Mackey has a punchable face.
No, me neither. Who does?
There are some people.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Aaron Rodgers could be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Just listen to what Joe Starkey had to say on his show yesterday.
I was at a golf center yesterday. There was a man there who would have no reason to lie. He's one of these guys who knows everything. We run into these guys, right? They know everybody and everything. He, I'll tell you this, while I was talking to him, Mark Whipple called him. Okay, so he was talking to Mark Whipple next to me.
Sure.
So when he's the kind of guy that when there's BSers and then there's guys, well, this guy really does know a lot of people. He obviously does because he's standing there talking to Whipple. Mm-hmm. He tells me after that Aaron Rodgers' people are calling around looking for a golf club, a country club, so to speak. So I take that as one more little clue, Bob, that Aaron Rodgers could be headed this way.
I mean, we did have a guy who tweeted us the other day and said Ben Sherrington was going to get fired because he mows his lawn, and he had some information there. So take this, obviously, with a grain of salt, but I don't know. One more reason to think Aaron Rodgers could be a Steeler? Poking around for golf courses?
I trust Joe, too. Like, he wouldn't say that unless...
I think I know who Joe talked to.
I think I know who Joe talked to, too.
I actually know who Joe talked to.
Yeah, I know that you know.
Yeah, I mentioned his name last week. I played golf with him down in Florida last week. Because Mark Whipple used to be at Chartiers.
Right.
Don't out this man.
I'm not outing him, but it's adding up.
Mark Whipple. Is he credible, this guy?
He talks to Whip all the time, yeah.
How would Whipple know? And I guess it wasn't Whipple that told him. That's me being dumb.
Right. Like, would this guy just make stuff up?
This guy He's very know? Tied into the golf community in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, I don't think so.
You have that mixed, obviously, with Josina Anderson, who tweeted last night, I'm told the Steelers communicated with Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the week that they would like to receive an answer from him before the draft. At least 48 hours, per league sources. The Steelers know the outcome of that conversation. Humor me. Let's say it's Caleb Johnson that you get 83rd overall, just to pluck a running back name out of a hat here. And you don't move Pickens, which I don't think they'll do. Pickens, Metcalf, Caleb Johnson, Jaylen Warren, young, talented offensive line, Pat Freiermuth. Aaron Rodgers pulling the trigger. Could be fun.
Could be very fun.
Yes.
Worth watching.
You're tired, Pat.
I'm tired. My eyes are itchy. I feel like I just have pollen in my sinuses.
Uh-huh.
And this has been very, very enjoyable.
You popped a Zyrtec or a Claritin lately?
I've done it all.
Yep.
This morning was just insanely bad. Yesterday was a great day.
I agree.
Then today it was like, boom. Was someone just like smothering me with pollen.
You guys do have it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Big time.
You've said that like three times
already. I know, because
every time you talk about eyes, it makes it worse.
Well, you sound like your energy's waning. That's all I'm saying.
My energy could not be better. I have high energy. Okay?
Could not be better.
Yeah. All you got to do is make some asinine comment about the Steelers trading somebody and taking Sanders, and my energy comes back.
Pickens. Move Pickens. Get up. Draft Sanders.
That would be ridiculous.
How about trade Watt and get a second pick for next year?
I don't like those guys yet. I'm sure I'll fall in love with four or five quarterbacks next year in the process.
Start watching them today. I thought you couldn't stop thinking about Milroe yesterday.
I couldn't. You got me on the Milroe. You got me big Milroe.
I still.
And then Doran makes a good point today. The Browns have 33 and 36. You want to go for a high upside traits guy? That's Milroe. They could do that.
He has the best attribute of any quarterback in the draft. His running ability.
Mm-hmm. If you're the Browns, like, why not take a shot on that? And then you could get Judkins or Henderson, two Ohio State guys, with 36.
The Giants and Browns are competing now for the most interesting quarterback rooms in football.
Yes. Yes. I did hear Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Pole position.
Yep. He's starting.
He's going to be the starter. If I'm them, Dart's my backup, right?
Like, they got Jameis, too.
I know, but why do I need to give Jameis snaps? I want to give Dart the snaps. Get him some first-team snaps, have him the second guy. It's tough to not at this time of the year you can get everybody snaps, but when you get into the season, the number three guy sees nothing. Nothing.
You don't need him yet. You don't need him yet.
If I were the Browns, to go back to them now real quick, I drafted Milroe, I'm starting him from day one. Day one. If he stinks, he stinks. If he develops, there you go. There's your answer. Because if he stinks, then you tank.
I don't think Cleveland's going to take quarterback. I don't.
You think next year's the year that they have?
Yeah. Yep.
Since you have two first-round picks and they stink in Jacksonville,
they're going to load up everywhere else.
Yeah.
So, where could Sanders go? I mean, it's just so.
Yeah, I mean it. I mean, and think. Okay, so
there's a chance he's there in the third round, honestly.
Because you think about it, if Milroe is who with the upside, and then you have Tyler Shuck who's out there, who I think people are really high on, they might go before Sanders. If Cleveland doesn't take a quarterback in your theory, Pat, then two other teams are going to probably take a quarterback, maybe. And then where does that leave Sanders? If Milroe and Shuck are above him, I think Shuck is at this point above him.
New Orleans is going to take a quarterback at 40. They have to.
That'll be Milroe then, if Milroe isn't picked up.
See.
Because, I mean, think about Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore.
We'll see. True. True enough. And you got issues with Derek Carr.
I'll tell you, Shador in a dome gets me, though.
Jets at 42?
Could. Sure. Absolutely could. Absolutely could.
I wouldn't invite that if I was Aaron Glenn, but okay. He's the first-year head coach, but okay.
You ready for this one, boys? If Sanders is there at 83, now I do have pause.
Now I probably would take him.
Yeah, but I would weirdly, that's when I would be like, all right, geez. He's there at 83? As much as I like him, he's there at 83. And now everyone has passed on him three times. Now I start to freak out.
I don't think he'd be there then.
I don't think so either, but just wanted to
the
put that out.
The interesting thing though is as you get later in the second round, you start to get more into backup transitional player. So the teams that would consider taking a quarterback, like for instance, Dallas. Dallas could take a quarterback.
Given they just got Milton.
Okay, not Dallas.
His energy's waning. It's
Indy,
gone.
Indy.
For sure. But they ain't taking Milroe.
No.
Maybe not. Carolina.
I think they're sold on their guy now.
I'm not. Miami.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Could.
Purdy's in a little bit of a standoff right now.
Didn't they just get somebody too, the backup?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you're in the second round now.
People are texting you guys to eat local honey for your allergies.
I chugged it this morning.
Did you?
Every day.
You're
twice
just
a day.
Coating your stomach with honey.
Yes.
What are you?
It works.
Friggin' Winnie the Pooh.
Local honey with the pollen. Everything's in it that creates the, I think, the immunities.
How old's Geno Smith?
34.
Should her to Vegas?
Would make sense, too.
That could make a lot of sense.
Nailed his birthday. October 10th, 1990. My guy, Geno Smith, same age, and we are Eskimo brothers. All right, that's enough. Thank you, Pat.
Get rid of me now. I'll see you guys later.
I mean, if you want to hang out till 10, feel free to hang out till 10.
Mac Jones, 49ers backup.
Yeah, that doesn't impact me at all. See ya.
Goodbye, Pat. Thank you for your time.